Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and well, welcome back. Welcome back to me. Welcome back to you. It's really wonderful to be back on Discussions with Delia. It's been a while. I've just been involved in so many things that I have not given Discussions with Delia the priority attention that it deserves. So I vow to change that. I vow to make it the priority and to schedule things around it rather than scheduling it around things. But it's really good to be back, and it's exciting for us here in Mount Vernon because for the second year, we will be hosting Emotional Wellness Week, Wellness Week from Mount Vernon. And we're looking at the eight dimensions of wellness, and we have a whole calendar of events planned, so it's going really well. We have lots of folks, many more folks than last year, ready to participate, speakers. We're doing a stand on City Hall, so it's really an exciting time for us. And as you know, my life's work, my chosen life's work, will be mental health and the reduction of stigma in mental health and the raising of awareness in mental health. That's my chosen life work. So, you know, I thought I would talk today about the authentic self. I think starting with self is always a good place to start whenever we start to unpack or reveal or uncover, you know, what's going on. And I was thinking about relationships, and I was thinking about how people are in relationships, how they behave in relationships. And that's what came to me, the authentic self. How do we live our authentic self? Because after all, the whole purpose of Discussions with Delia is to help people become their better selves. And so I thought, okay, let's talk about the authentic self. And where do we start with that? What does it even mean to be the authentic self? You know, who are you at your core when you're not wearing a mask, when you're not pretending for the company that you're in? Who are you when you are just being, you know, without airs, you know, endorsing and supporting the values that you hold dear, and just being vulnerable? Because I think being authentic requires you to be vulnerable. And so who are you when you're vulnerable? Who are you when nobody's watching, when you're not on stage? And so that's the question I wanted to pose today. Remember, you can call in live on 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, and why this is important. So often we do that, right? We put on this mask. We put on this act of who we believe people want us to be, not who we are, but who we believe people want us to be. And so maybe we're not naturally nice, or maybe we don't naturally smile, or maybe, you know, we're not naturally honest. And so, but those traits may be important for us to get through and navigate the circuit of our lives. And so you do that. You put on this face. And then maybe you wonder from putting on this face why your relationships don't work, why you have trouble even within your family, why those things don't work. Right? So if you find that you are
if you find that you're having those difficulties, that you're having difficulty with relationships, that you're having difficulty navigating socially, maybe it's time to look at how you're navigating and who you are. And so, you know, breaking it down. Is it work? Do you, you know, what kind of feeling do you get depending on what company you're in? Do you feel like you have to change how you're behaving or how you're speaking or how you're dressing to fit in? And that's not really who you are. And is that putting a stress or a burden on you? Because a lot of times people do that. You know, in order to fit in, we have to dress the part. We have to sound the part. And in doing those things, or look the part, you know, in doing those things, we might be putting strain and anxiety and stress on ourselves. So, if you find that that's what's happening in your life, and this is a source of anxiety, what do you want to do about it? Is there something you want to do about it? Can you just be at ease regardless of what company you're in? Or do you have to put up a front or to create a certain aura? Or you have to keep your friends separate because, you know, who you are really at your core is different from who you pretend to be depending on the company that you're with. Now, that's a question to consider. Is there a difference between who you are authentically when you're by yourself or when you're with your peeps, your people, as opposed to who you are at other times? And that's not to say we don't have socially acceptable behaviors, that, you know, we might not display mixed company. That's different, you know, because I might, for example, speak in patois when I'm with one set of friends that I don't speak in patois with when with another set of friends. And it's not that I'm pretending, but my second group of friends may not understand patois, right? And so the expectation is not that I would speak to them in that way. The same would be said for if I'm in a professional environment as opposed to a personal environment. You know, you flex one way as opposed to another. But when that becomes burdensome, when kind of navigating this becomes like a chore or becomes how you are, you know, handling or managing life, then it's time to assess, you know. And why would people want to do that? Sometimes, you know, I think folks think they have to pretend, they have to present themselves a certain way because they don't love themselves. They don't think they're enough. And if you don't think that you're enough, if you don't think that you are okay and acceptable to folks just as you are, then, you know, you have to put on the ears. And because you don't accept yourself, you think, well, I'm too dark, my hair is nappy, I don't dress nice enough, I don't speak well enough, I don't present, then you have to change all of those things. You know, navigate changing all of those things. And that can become stressful. That can become highly stressful. So I think the first part of uncovering the authentic self is accepting yourself for who you are and accepting your history and your experiences for, you know, what they have been, because you can't change it. And that's not to say you might not experience some sadness or loss or regret about things that have happened. That's probably, you know, those are experiences that everyone has, some people more than others. But in having those experiences, you don't want to get bogged down, weighed down by living in the past and with those experiences that you have, so much so that you cannot let them go and experience your present and anticipate your future, right? So I think it's really important to be able to forgive or have compassion for the self, to say, so what that, you know, I'm not born to royalty. That's okay. You know, that your circumstances is not who you are. And so I think it's really important to be able to accept and live with compassion and forgiveness for experiences that you've had that maybe you regret or are ashamed of, to be able to forgive that and have compassion about that. And then to be able to accept that whatever your circumstances are does not define you as a person, as a human being, that you can still be kind and respectful and creative and brilliant no matter what your circumstances. And so I think that becomes really an important part of it. You know, how do you want to, you know, how do you want people to experience you? How do you want people, what do you want them to see and to know and to feel once they've had an encounter with you? Do you want them to know who you really are, or do you want them to have this experience of the shell person, of this pretend person? And I think that's really important. So understanding that, you know, accepting who you are, forgiving your shortcomings, and then presenting, you know, what is positive and good and affirming about your experience and about who you are. So, you know, it starts with love. It starts with being able to love yourself. Right? And how easy is that? You know, when you look in the mirror, can you look in the mirror and say, you know, I love you and mean it? Some people can't even look in the mirror at themselves. And so that's an exercise to practice. Look yourself in the mirror and see if you can look not with a critical, you know, criticizing eye, oh, that's too small, or that's too big, or wish that was lighter, but rather with a loving eye that says, oh, perfectly made, right? Perfectly made, and I love you. I think that's, you know, really an important idea to come upon if you're going to be living your authentic self, because I submit that if you cannot live authentically who you are, then how people experience you cannot be authentic. It's all going to be a farce, a pretense. And so therefore, it ends up being where people, the experiences, the relationships that you have, if they're based on a fake idea, on a fake you, chances are those experiences are going to feel like fake. And so many times, you know, we have people who pretend to be friends, who pretend to, you know, want good for you. Just in church today, you know, Pastor Polk talked about that. He talked about, you know, how not everybody that you're connected to should you be connected to, right? Do they want the same things for you or hope the same dreams for you? Not everybody wants that. And so I think it's really important to get that and to realize that connecting in an authentic way to others is going to build authentic relationships. And there's nothing better than an authentic relationship with other people. You know, because you want to be able to feel what you're feeling and to say, well, this is the experience I'm having, or this is what's happened. Not that you're going to walk around and share your whole entire life with everybody, but you need to be able to have authentic relationships in a way that says, if something happens, you can experience that in its entirety without having to pretend like, oh, my God, I have to hide this from that one and hide that. No, because that's too much work. And that's, I think, what comes from having inauthentic or fake relationships, is that it's just a lot of work. And so striving to have real human connections. And, you know, I mean, the research says, that having at least one good friendship is important for well-being, for wellness. So for at least one authentic relationship. And, you know, the more the merrier, because as we grow older, the social interaction, the social connections are what keeps us alive. Human beings are relational people. We thrive on relationships. And so we need to thrive on authentic relationships. So, you know, that's really what I want to encourage is for, I mean, just imagine how much better it would be if we could all be engaged with each other in an authentic way. Like, I can honestly feel for you that I want what's best for you. I'm not secretly hoping that you're going to fail, or I'm not secretly listening to your problems just because I want to gossip about you. But I genuinely feel that your success contributes to the overall goodness in the world and contributes to overall success for everyone. And so, you know, just kind of imagining and feeling that. I mean, you know what it feels like when, I hope you do anyway, when something good happens in your life and you can share that with others. And so, you know, just think about being able to have that experience repeatedly. Being able to have people celebrate with you or feel with you or cry with you whenever something happens in your life. We just had an interruption on the show just now, and I just, let me apologize for that. But yeah, so let's think about what it feels like, kind of like that, you know, for you to not have an authentic live communication and connection with someone because the relationship is based on a farce. You know, I think it's really important to be able to experience that. The human relationships are really important relationships, and it helps with emotional, social, psychological well-being, and I'm going to say it's physical as well. You know, it helps with all the areas of wellness to be connected to in an authentic way to other people who genuinely care for you or who genuinely care about you, who will be there when you have challenges or difficulties, who will answer the call if you need help, who can celebrate with you and cheer you on when things go well. And that's not easy to find. It really isn't easy to find that kind of connection to people. You know, because many of us don't practice being authentic. The ego is rampant, and the ego needs and wants to be satisfied. And so it's not easy for you to look around and to see someone doing better than you or doing something that's outstanding for you to say, yeah, go. You know, I don't know if that's the human nature. If that's typically the human nature. People talk about the crab mentality, that we're always trying to tear each other down. I mean, you know, as evolved human beings, I don't think, you know, that's what we need to be doing. But it happens. And so when that happens, when you suspect that someone is not being authentic with you or someone is not connected to you in a real, warm, genuine way, what do you do about it? What can you do about it? You know, you can always use the I statement to explain what that feels like, you know, that you're experiencing this doubt. I feel sad that the relationship that I believed we had, that I wanted for us, does not seem to be the relationship that you're experiencing with me. And that makes me sad. Right? That makes me sad that we are not as connected as I thought we were. That makes me sad that you can't experience my sadness, or you don't see why that would make me sad. That you're more concerned about looking to see what's happening, or, you know, experiencing the failures and the sadness and celebrating that, as opposed to looking for the good and endorsing and supporting the good things that's happening. So, you know, I really believe that having authentic relationships is important to growth. I mean, when you think about even networking in a business environment, you know, if you're not connected to people in an authentic way, yeah, then somebody's going to be trying to undermine, sabotage, cut down in some way. And it happens. God knows it happens. You know, I mean, I've had enough experience in the corporate world to be able to say, yeah, it happens. But there are people who thrive on that. But I think that human nature is inherently good, and that we all want good for ourselves and good for each other. And so identifying and being more deliberate in how you engage with others, and being open and saying what you're looking for, right? And I'm not talking about romantic relationships, but even with friendships, you want to make sure that you're engaging and connecting with people who share similar values. And, you know, who you can see that they share similar values. Because you can look at people's habits, you know. You can just look at people's habits, how they conduct themselves in social settings. You know, excuse me, do they barge in? Do they only talk about themselves? You know, all those things give you insight as to who the person is. Right? And if they're always just taking, always trying to take and not trying to put back, replenish, give anything, then that too is a good sign to say, maybe those are not shared values, and maybe that person is on a social climb. So, you know, I believe that authentic relationships are integral for our existence to be amazing. I think that it's really important for us to be presenting ourselves and our intentions, whatever they are, in an honest way. So if you just want somebody to help you to advance your political, social, whatever career, then it's okay to say that. But don't pretend to be what you are not. Don't pretend to be engaged with the person and to care about the person if that's not what this is about. You can be honest. So, you know, I think that's important. I think first it's important for us to have this discussion. Because you know what? There's a certain level of sadness that accompanies the realization that, wait a second, you mean that relationship was not real? There's a certain level of sadness that comes with that. And so you've got to own that sadness too. You've got to own the sadness that may be caused from your inauthentic relationship, from your inauthentic interactions with others, that can cause sadness. And is that what you want to do at the end of the day? I don't think so. Not mostly, no. People don't want to cause sadness. People don't want to cause unhappiness. So, you know, start with the self. Start by loving and accepting the self, forgiving the self and being compassionate. And then from that spring, once that spring is a healthy place, then from that spring can come other good things where you are being kind and helpful and, you know, genuine with others and loving with others, because that's what you're giving to yourself. And we need more love in the world. We really do. So, whatever you do, whatever relationships you choose to engage in, platonic, romantic, professional, whatever the relationships you choose to engage in, do it in a genuine and authentic way. Be vulnerable enough, confident, comfortable enough to expose who you really are. Because it's the only way then to look at what areas may need changing. And so if you're busy pretending all the time that, oh, this is me and I'm good, then there's no way to improve. So I think it's really important to have that conversation with self. To have the conversation with self about, is that really me? Is that something I need to change? Okay, let me look at that. Look at it in a way that will support change and progress. You know, because we should always be evaluating self. Like, we shouldn't be the same today as we were 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago. We should always be improving, right? And becoming the better version of ourselves. I think that's really an important idea. So, I challenge you to look at how you're engaging, to evaluate whether or not you're engaging in an authentic way, if the you that you're presenting is the real you, and if it's not, to choose to love yourself authentically, who you are, flaws and all, and then work on improving bit by bit, incrementally. So, it's been my pleasure. You know, I do this because I love to do this. I love to think about these topics and talk about these topics. And then I love to present them to you for you to think about them as well. So I welcome your feedback. And, you know, I look forward to next week. So, till next time, peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Celia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussions Celia or like our Facebook page, Celia Positively Speaking. See you next week. Peace and blessings.